If you need to turn to 188, number 188. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Sing that with me this morning.
I serve the risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just as I need him, he's always here.
He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today.
He walks with me and talks with me.
He lives, he lives, amen. matter what's going on in other countries with wars and everything's going on, because I know he holds the future and because he lives. Amen. Aren't you glad of that this morning? Come on, preacher.
Good to see everybody here this morning. Welcome our visitors and pray for our Bible school workers. They may sleep through the message. We've had a great week of Bible school, but everybody I know is tired because we had over 100 kids a couple of nights, right?
180,
I think. Yeah, we had a total like 180 total because we had like 50 workers or so. It was just a really good week, and everybody pitched in. It takes a team. Appreciate Christy leading, but it takes everybody. And we had a good team and filling in all areas, but I know it's tiring, so maybe today will be restful for you and get rested next week. Remember our group in Honduras, there's a group of 20-something, 14 from our church are down there. They're a couple hours behind us, so they'll be going to church in a little bit, but they got in okay. They got to Atlanta, flew from Chattanooga to Atlanta, and they got to Atlanta about to board the plane, and the pilot got sick. And they had to call in another pilot. They had to wait an hour and a half, and so had a few hiccups, and then an eight-hour bus ride. So they're wore out, I know, but let's pray for their safety and for a good trip this week down there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the things last week that happened, thankful for all the workers. And, Lord, we're most thankful for 13 decisions for Christ. And we're grateful for these kids that gave their heart and pray you bless them. We pray that you'd bless the group in Honduras. But, Lord, we're here today in this worship. And we just pray your spirit would meet with us and use us, Lord, for your glory. And help to encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. And there was 13 saves. That's most important.
Amen. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. How about you?
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
I'm going to wake up and hear the words of the Lord. Did you hear him say we had 13 saved?
Amen.
Isn't that something to worship the Lord about?
Amen.
I'll make you happy.
Yes,
I'm not afraid.
me touch the hem of his garment.
Oh,
what a good song.
Thank you.
Amen. Boy, it's good to be in church this morning. Stand with me. Let's sing a good old one. He set me free this morning. 235 in the hymnal if you need it. Number 235.
Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, a freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God. He set me free. Well, he set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me.
Comes down to shake hands with everyone here. Tell me, glad to see him in the Lord's house this morning. That last verse with me on that last goodbye to sin and things that confound on that last.
Bye.
time to take up the offering, give as God's blessed us this week. So let's pray and ask the Lord to bless. Amen. Brother Joe Morgan, would you lead us, please? Amen.
Never got over that I am not under the bondage of sin anymore. I'm still amazed that Jesus would pay a debt I could not afford. I've never got past that I'm free at last from the sin that made me a slave. I still feel as much as when he first touched me. Oh yes, I'm still amazed. I'm amazed to know how far God would go to set a lost man free. I'm still in awe that he gave it all for an old sinner like me. I never got over that this king would shoulder my sin with all its disgrace. Yes, Calvary's hill still gives me a thrill. Oh yes, I'm still amazed. Amazed a stranger would accept a manger in trade for kingly throne. I'm still at a loss, yeah, why he'd take the cross instead of the street of pure gold. He's the only king who gave everything in exchange for a cold dark grave. I still love to ponder this God-given wonder. I'm still amazed. I'm amazed to know how far God would go to set a lost man free. I'm still in awe that he gave it all for an old sinner like me. I've never got over that this king would shoulder my sin with all its disgrace. Yes, Calvary's hill still gives me a thrill. Oh yes, I'm still amazed. I've never got over that this king would shoulder my sin with all its disgrace. Yes, Calvary's hill still gives me a thrill. still today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. Come, Jesus, come. Every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. Deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. There'll be no more. And there'll be no chains when Jesus comes. Let today be the day. He'll come for the weak and the strong just the same. Every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. Deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. One day he'll come, and we'll stand face to face. Come and lay it all down, 'cause it might be today. The time is right now. There's no need to wait. Your past will be washed by rivers of grace. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return. To heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. Deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come.
Thank you for that good singing. I appreciate that. Amen. Might not be too long. Amen. With the moral condition of the world, and of course, there's always wars going on and rumors of wars, and still, you know, we don't know. We don't know how close, but it's got to be getting certainly closer than it was. But let's just pray. John said, even so, after he saw all that he saw in Revelation, he said, this soul come, Lord Jesus. Yes. Of course, he was under persecution. He was ready to get out of here. But, you know, let's stand together. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. Matthew 22, verse 34. We'll read from this scripture. Amen. It said, but when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might, all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless. We're thankful for the songs and the service and the worship that the Spirit has led us to this point. It's so good to have the good preparation, Lord, to prepare our hearts to hear your word. And I pray you'd help us to hear today what you have to say in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach this morning with scripture and to be a conduit of God's love. A conduit of God's love, and I'll explain that in just a minute. We have a team working on a new website, and our new motto on that website is love God and love people. This is off our Bible school shirt. We had it on our shirt to love God and to love people. So it's going to be on our logo. And that's what Jesus instructed us to do here. In these scriptures, he said, love the Lord in verse 37, you'll love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. With all your heart, your love, all your affections, and all your being, and all your thoughts, you love him with everything you've got. Amen. And then he said, the second one is to love your neighbor as thyself. Why would he tell us to love our neighbor as ourself? You know, Ephesians chapter 5, he told us to love our wives and take care of them as our own bodies. Because we're going to take care of ourselves. And we love ourselves. We ought to love others as we love ourselves. And so he's told us to love God, and he's told us to love others. And if we love God, we're going to love others. 1 John chapter number 4, 1 John chapter number 4, verse 7. He said, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 11, but beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. If we love him, we're going to love others. Amen. His love is shed abroad in our heart, and that love causes us to love other people. Now, I said we're going to be a conduit of God's love. And so God loves us, we love him, and 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 20, what is a conduit? Most of you, if you're an electrician or a plumber, you know what a conduit is. But in 2 Kings 20, verse 20, he said the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city. So Hezekiah made a pool, and that water had to get inside the city. So he made a conduit, and a conduit is a channel, our way of bringing that water in. And so it was a conduit. And God's love, God loves us. And God loves this world. And we've got to be the means to show God's love to this world. We've got to be that means. We've got to be a conduit, a channel for God to use. He loves them. How are they going to ever know? It's got to come through us, and that's what we want to get to today. We must be that channel which carries God's love from him to this world. Now, first of all, God is love. We read in 1 John, I skipped to verse number 8, but it says, he that loveth knoweth not God, for God is love. That's what he is. You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that describes God. He's a God of justice, and he's a God of judgment. Moses said he's a God of war, but he is a God of love, and he does love everybody. So that's one of his attributes, And then we see the scope of God's love. How wide is his love? You know, sometimes our love is limited to those who love us. And you know, I guess I won't know if somebody likes me before I get close to them. But listen, God loves, the Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It was not just for us sitting here today. It's for everybody. The God, his scope of his love is he loves the world. And then the depth of his love was shown in the offering of Christ. How deep is God's love? In 1 John, we go back to that scripture. In 1 John chapter number 4, it said in verse 9 and 10, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Here in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent forth his Son to be a perpetuation for our sins." How much did God love us? He sent his Son to be a perpetuation, to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That took a lot of love. That took a lot of love. And, you know, we wouldn't give our children for others, but he gave his Son. So we see the depth of his love was shown in the offering of Christ. So God loves the world, and he's shown that world through Christ, that love through Christ. But how is he going to get it to the world? How are they going to know the message of love and how much God loves him? How is he going to communicate that to man? He's going to use us to do it. Now, first of all, he used Jesus as a conduit of his love. Jesus was a means of him showing the world how much he loved them. He sent Jesus on a mission of love. John 3:17, he said, "God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now, it's going to be a different story when he comes back second time. He's coming in as a king. He's coming as a conqueror. But when he come the first time, it was not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It was a mission of love. And God became one of us so that he could communicate his love. John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh," verse 14, "the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father." And he went on and said in verse number 18, he said in verse 18 of John 1, he said, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath he declared." The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus came to this world to show us God and to show God's love. Hebrews chapter number one, it says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." He spoke in the old times, as it said, by prophet, different ways. But when Jesus came to the earth, God was speaking to us through his Son, and he was the image of God. And he was here. He had seen God. We haven't. He had seen God, and he became one of us so he could communicate God's love. Now, he became one of us. And if you want to really talk to somebody, you got to get down on their level or on their level. In my case, it's down on my level. It's like teaching kids. You can't teach kids with like you're a college graduate when the great theologian. You got to get kids. You got to get down on their level to teach them. And when God sent Jesus into the world, he was made flesh. He came in the form of a servant. He came like us. You know, he could speak face to face. God wanted to speak face to face with man. So God became flesh, that he could communicate to us face to face in our language and tell us about the love of God. So Jesus was a conduit of God's love. Now, he showed God's love while he was here. He showed it through humanitarian needs and met their needs. Many times we read in the scripture how that in Matthew 15, when he fed the hungry, many of them, there was a lot of people following him and listening, and he had compassion on them. He said, the disciples just sent them away. He said, "No, they're hungry. They might faint by the way." And he met their needs, physical needs of food, and because he had compassion on them. Matthew 14, he saw many that was diseased and afflicted, and he had compassion on them, and he loved them. And he healed their diseases and healed their infirmities. And that was showing God's love, how much he loved them. He couldn't look at the suffering of man without trying to meet their needs. John chapter 7 or Luke chapter 7, when he was going to the city of Nain, and the widow was coming out of the city with the coffin of her son, her only son. And when Jesus saw her and saw her broken heart, he had compassion on her. And he met that need. He raised him from the dead. And he met that need. Jesus came into this world and he saw the sufferings of men. And he tried to help them with humanitarian needs. And that showed the love of God. That showed him how much love he had for them. But his main purpose was not to meet their humanitarian needs. His main purpose was to meet their spiritual needs. Luke 19:10, when Zacchaeus got saved, he said the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's his purpose of coming into the world. 1 Timothy verse 15, Paul said this, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." He said that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. He said, you listen to what I'm saying. This is a faithful saying. This is worthy of everybody to accept. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. You know, meeting the humanitarian needs was a great way. And it was a way of showing God's love. But that was not his main mission. That was a byproduct of him being here and seeing the sufferings of man. But his main mission was to seek and to save that which was lost and to save sinners from their sin. What we see in the scriptures is he loved sinners. He loved sinners, and he loves still loves sinners. In Matthew chapter 10, or Mark chapter 10, they call him the rich young ruler that came to Jesus, and they call him that because he was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. And he came to Jesus, and he said, "What can I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, you know what you got to do. You got to keep the commandments. You got to do this and this and this." He said, "I've done that all my life." But Jesus knew he still had not got it. And the Bible said he loved him. He loved him. That man was seeking and he loved him. And he said, "One thing you lack, sell all you have and give to the poor." He knew that covetousness was a problem in his heart. And he knew that riches was more important to him than God. And he felt for that man and he loved him. Amen. He loved him. He was a sinner. Yeah. Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. Jesus said that John the Baptist came preaching and you called him. He was not eating or drinking and you called him a devil. And he said, "I've come eating and drinking. You call me a wine bibber and a gluttonous man and a friend of sinners." Jesus was accused of being a friend of sinners. He was. He was. And we ought to be a friend of sinners. Now, he didn't participate in their sin, but he was a friend of sinners. He loved sinners. He came into the world to save sinners. He ate with sinners. Matthew chapter 9, when Levite, who became one of the apostles, was sitting at the seat of custom. He was a crooked tax collector. And Jesus walked by and he called him and he followed him and he went home with him to eat and he made a supper. And he said a lot of publicans and a lot of sinners came in there to eat that day. And the Pharisees stood out and told his disciples, "Why does he eat with those kind of people?" Because he loved them. And that's who he come to seek and to save, was those sinners. He was showing God's love to these sinners. But you know, he was honest with them. He was honest with the sinner. You can't help a man out of his sin if you're not honest with him. You read John chapter 8, of course, he had to get pretty rough with the Pharisees. He told them, said, "You're going to die in your sin." And he told them, "You're the father of the devil." Now, he didn't have to get that blunt with everybody, but he did not participate in their sins. He came to seek and to save them, and he was honest with them about their sins. We have today the problem with a lot of Christianity wants the soft soap sin, And we can't be judgmental. We don't have to judge them. God's already done that in the Bible. Amen. We were in North Carolina back when she asked me to take her on a trip for her anniversary. And she's not here. She might not listen, so don't go tell her anything. But we were up in a restaurant in North Carolina. There wasn't very many people in there, and there's a couple behind us. Two ladies were talking. And I wasn't trying to listen to the conversation, but you could hear it. They were not being quiet. But one lady was talking to the other lady, and evidently the other lady was a lesbian. And this lady who was talking to her told her, said, "I used to be a Baptist, and I used to be against this and against that, and I didn't do, you know, can't do this, can't do that. I used to be that way." But she said, "I realized that I needed to love people as Christ loved them." And that's true. She said, "It's not important who you love, it's important how you love." Now, I agree it's important how we love people. We love them as Christ does. But she was telling that lesbian, it doesn't matter who you love. You can go ahead and be a lesbian because Christ loves you. Well, that's true. He does love her. But you know, you're not being a friend of sinners if you're going to sit there and lie to them. Because God, he spells it out in the scriptures about sin. And he said, you be holy because I'm holy. And he teaches us separation. He teaches us all these things. So you can't tell somebody their sin's okay and that's showing God's love. That's leading them to hell. But Jesus was honest with sinners. He didn't mind eating with them. He wouldn't have done the things they did, but he didn't mind eating with them. He didn't mind talking with them, fellowshipping with them. He loved them, but he was honest with them. And he saved sinners. He saved sinners. We mentioned Zacchaeus a while ago. He was nothing but an IRS crook. I don't think everybody works the IRS as crooks, but I know the IRS is crooked sometimes. But he was a crook, and he confessed that. You know, when he got saved, he said, look, if I took anything from anybody dishonest, I'm going to pay them back fourfold. Yeah. I mean, brother, it got in his heart. But God, you know, and he was trying to seek, when Jesus came to Jericho, he was vertically challenged. You can't say short these days, but he was vertically challenged, and he climbed a sycamore tree because he wanted to see Jesus. Amen. And Jesus knew where that man was, and he was up in that tree in more ways than one. And he said, come down, I'm going to your house today. He was going home with a crooked sinner. And he went home that day, and boy, Zacchaeus was impressed because of his love for him, and he got saved that day. And he stood up and said, look, I'm going to straighten it. You know, if you get right with God, you're going to get right with others. And he experienced the love of Christ and got saved. And you think about Legion. Legion was a man just full of the devil. So much full of the devil that his name was Legion. There was a legion of demons in that man, and he wouldn't wear clothes, and he's out in the graveyard screaming and crying at night, and they couldn't even bind him, and people were afraid of him. And he got saved, and he was sitting with Jesus. He was clothed. That's the first thing you do. You get saved, you'll put your clothes on. And he was clothed and sitting in his right mind, and they were afraid. They were more afraid of that than they were when he was a devil. But anyway, he got saved. Jesus said, Jesus was leaving. He said, I will go with you. He said, no, you stay here, and you go tell your friends what God's done for you. I mean, that man became a conduit. God loved him and saved him. He went and told others. He just went, you know, he didn't have any more sense. Just go around telling everybody. You know, it's kind of like, what's the guy's name that goes to the lepers? Tommy Tillman. Yeah, I heard him say it. He's been to our church when I was at Calvary. But when he got saved, the Bible said going to all the worlds, so he just got a little satchel, put a little few clothes in it, went out and started hitchhiking. Whoever picked him up, he'd ride with them and tell them about Jesus. I wouldn't do that today. But I mean, that's just what God, he knew God's love, and he wanted to share it with everybody else. Also, there's many people, instances we can tell he saved sinners, and he died for sinners. He said in John 10:11, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So Jesus became a conduit of God's love. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And the Bible said God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. I mean, he showed God's love by coming to this earth and giving his life, and he loved sinners, and they could see God through him. You know, the thing is, if you meet people's humanitarian needs, but you don't try to reach their spiritual needs, they're still going to go to hell. Now, humanitarian, that's a means, but you got to give them the meet their spiritual need. So anyway, Jesus was a conduit of a way of God's love flowing to this world while he was here. And that's what we need to do. We need to be God's conduit to this world. We need to love him, and we need to love people. And they need to see God's love through us. We need to be the means by which the world sees the love of God. Now, we can show it through humanitarian needs. We mentioned that. Jesus did that. We can clothe people. And he said to do that in the book of James. In the book of James, he said in verse number, he's talking about faith versus works. How do you show your faith? He said through works. He said in verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and you say unto him, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding, and give them not the things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? If we have true faith, we're going to help people. And he said also in 1 John, in 1 John, chapter number 3, he said in verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? He said, if you really love God and you've got the means, you're going to help somebody. So we ought to help people humanitarily. We ought to help clothe them, help feed them. We do that. We got a food closet. We try to help people meet their food needs. And you know, the Honduras, we got the group in the Honduras right now. And this church is a big supporter of that ministry. And they do a great work. And one thing they do is have feeding centers. They set up feeding centers. And while they're there, the individuals, most of them have probably bought food bags to give out to the girl that they support. I think Phyllis is doing that. And they have, in the church, I think we gave $1,000 to give food bags to pastors. We ought to help meet their food needs and their clothing needs and things like that. That's a good thing. And I know there's people go on medical trips to medical missions. There's surgeons that go and give their time to fix the birth defects in kids and help give surgeries and help give hygiene things and dental help and things that they need. And I guess they probably do that with Good Samaritan too. Is that right? I don't know for sure, but meet their medical needs at times, maybe give them medicine. That's a good thing. There's no doubt about that. But the main thing is sharing the gospel with them. Humanitarian meeting their needs is good, but that's just a means to share the gospel with them. And that's what, that's what they're going to do down there. And I know Brother Tim's talked about, you know, they have the transmitters and the radio trying to get the gospel out to them, because it's just not about feeding the hungry. It's not just about clothing the putting clothes on their back and helping the poor. It's about helping them come in a relationship with Christ. And that's how we really show the love of God. And so the main thing is sharing the gospel. Christ's sacrifice was a means of him showing his love to the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's what he did, to show the world that he loves us. And if God loves, dwells in us, that compels us to share the gospel with other people. You know, that's the one thing that we're most backward about, isn't it? You can get people to help clothe. You can get people to help feed. But you know, what would Satan want to hinder us from doing the most? Is sharing the gospel with them. And if we love God and his love's in us, we're going to share the gospel with them. John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 11 through 14. He said, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." Now, I know he's talking about Christian brothers in some of these scriptures. But if we love God, we're going to love others. No man has seen God at any time. How are they going to see God? It's going to have to be through us. He said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We are God's conduit. We are what they see, and we are the ones responsible. You know, I remember one of our preachers in one of our churches, as one of the kids, I guess it was in Bible school or Sunday school, he didn't have shoes. Didn't have good shoes, and he bought him a pair of shoes. And he put those shoes on that boy's feet, and when he tied those shoes, he said, "You tell your friends Jesus gave you some shoes." It's not about us getting credit. He wanted that kid to understand that Jesus gave you these shoes. It's because of the love of Christ in my heart that I'm putting shoes on your feet. And Jesus loves you. So if we love him, we're going to show. He said, "No man has seen God." They're going to see God through us. He said, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He said, we have experienced the love of God. He dwells in us, and that love in us going to cause us, he said in verse 14, to testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior into the world. The love of God dwelling in us constrains us or compels us to tell other people about the love of God and the sacrifice of Christ. He says this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. That means it compels us. The love of Christ that we've experienced compels us, constrains us, because we judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. If we needed saving, others need to be saved. They're dead spiritually. In verse 15, and that he died for all, that they should live not henceforth unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose from again from the dead. Amen. If we've been saved, it's going to encourage us and constrain us to show the love of Christ to other people. He said in verse number 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors for Christ. He said, we have been saved. He said, God was in Christ. What was he doing when Christ was on the cross? He was reconciling. He was bringing us together with him. It, us at one with him through Christ. And he said, if God done that for us, then we have a ministry of reconciliation. We're to go out to the world and tell them what Christ done for us. We are now ambassadors to represent him to a lost world. And we're to be that conduit of God's love to this lost world. So whatever we do, it's got to come down to where we got to share the gospel with them. Whatever humanitarian means we might use, it's got to be have a purpose, motive behind it. It's to share the gospel. I remember one person in my family, his church was going to set up a furniture, a storage for people, donate furniture for people who don't have furniture. And I asked him, I said, are y'all going to give them the gospel? He said, well, we're going to open the door with this. I mean, that's good. That's fine. But if you don't take the next step, you've done them no good. They got to know that's from Jesus. They got to know the love of Christ, and they got to know about his death on the cross. So we got to use whatever we're doing as it means, whatever we do here, the things that we did for the Bible school, the car show, whatever it is, the motive behind it has got to reach other people with the love of God and show them the love of God. I'm thankful we had some kids in Bible school because of that. That's worth it. You know, if it gets some kids here, that's worth it. If we can show God's love to them, it's worth it. So we've received the love of Christ, and now what we need to do is be a conduit of God's love to this world. Let them see God through us and see his love through us. Let's stand together, and Brother Bill's going to come with a hymn of invitation. You know, Romans chapter 10, it says in verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? And it is written, how beautiful. How beautiful is the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Boy, you know, he said, those that bring that gospel, boy, those beautiful feet, they may not be pretty physically, but boy, if they brought a gospel, how beautiful are those feet. Who brought you the gospel? Don't you love them? Might have been your mom and daddy. Might have been a preacher you remember from years ago that first told you about Christ. How beautiful are the feet of them that share the gospel. We can be an outreach to God's conduit to this world about his love. Heavenly Father, we pray you'd bless us today. Help us, Lord, to know and remember, God, what you did for us, because sometimes we've been saved so long, we really forgot how good God's love was, and help us to be refreshed this morning and then be willing to share that with someone who doesn't know what we know. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart.